نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبونه ويحبونه. صدق الله العظيم. Last week we did speak about Tawbah, which is the very first stage, very first step a person takes if he wants to reform his heart, so that on the day of Qiyamah he can present himself with a sound heart, which is a demand of the Quran. And we did explain last week as well that Tawbah is a safety valve in our actions. It makes us realize every step in our life where we stand, what we must do, what we must not do. If we do something wrong, how we can open the gate for the Rahmah of Allah to shower on us. And I did tell you last week, I hope there's enough, I stopped on one important advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet of Allah said that, which is a Sahih hadith, an authentic hadith, a person who reads the Sayyidul Istighfar, which I don't expect you to learn it by heart, so I make a photocopy of it. I hope I've got enough here, where in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person who recites it in the morning and he passes away in that day, he will enter Jannah directly. And if he reads it at night and he passes away, he will enter Jannah directly. This is the value of Sayyidul Istighfar, which Mufti Taqi Saab Dama Barakatuhum has added on that. He says, if we can read it after each Farah Salah, it will be better again. So, Sayyidul Istighfar, many great Akabir, great Ulama have recommended us to read it. I hope there is enough. Take the habit of reading it. Because coming here, just listening and not putting into practice is good, but the main maqsad is to please Allah. Just distribute that, please. I hope there is enough. I don't know. Let's pass it through. You keep it, put it in a file. Inshallah al-Aziz, I'm going to give you other askar also from authentic riwayat. Can you just... That is a master istighfar which you will get there. Can you pass it? And inshallah next week I'm going to give you, if Allah wills, other du'as. If there isn't enough, make me math, you can make a photocopy of it. The long one in Arabic at the bottom, say, it's written there, Master Istighfar. Take the habit of reading it. It comes in authentic ahadith, to read it in the morning and in the evening. Take the habit of making istighfar. The second thing today is the purpose of the salik, the person who wants to reform himself. It's good. We want to reform ourselves. The first stage is to ask tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ulama explains there is something very, very important that we have to cultivate in our heart, because just making worship of Allah, obeying Allah on itself is not enough. Why? If it is not being controlled, the same worship, the same action that we are doing may turn into hypocrisy. It can become nifaq. To control this nifaq, which is the greatest heinous sin, it comes out of the Quran, the worst azab expected in the day in Jahannam are for the munafiqeen, those hypocrites. That is, in their heart they say something else and the mouth is something else. If we don't monitor our actions, our worship, it can end up to be nifaq, hypocrisy, which is the opposite of ikhlas. Our namaz, we're going to read namaz to show off people. Our tilawat, to show people got a beautiful voice. Our sadaqah, zakat, we're going to show people how much money we got. But if a person can develop the muhabbat of Allah, the love for Allah, then this will be the control for not to be involved in hypocrisy. For this reason, the ayat of the Quran I've quoted in front of you, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Muslims, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Muslim, O you believers. Man yartadda minkum, whoever turns away an deenihi from his deen. Fasawfa yati Allah, very soon Allah will bring such people, becoming such a nation, such a people. Yuhibunahu wa yuhibun, that Allah, they will love Allah, Allah will love them and they will love Allah. The word hub is used there. Another word, ishq. The word hub in Arabic, love, muhabbat, is a very, very deep, deep, deep subject. Again, we're going to concentrate on the main things here. The Arab says, for example, hubab al-lisan, hubab al-asnan, that is, when a person got a very pure white teeth, that pure white teeth, the word hubab is used there. In other words, when we say we have hub for Allah, Allah has used the word hub in the Quran, Allah is expecting a pure love. Another expression they use in Arabic is hubab, means when there is a rainstorm, this bubble that comes from the rain is very beautiful, but it is unstable. It wants to come up. This feeling of this bubbles, this is what is expected from a person who wants to purify his heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful comparison has been drawn for us to understand that our heart must strive to develop the muhabbat of Allah. When we reach that level, then only we can have some itminan in our heart that our actions is not going to be polluted with hypocrisy. That's very important. After a person makes tawbah, he must start realizing who is Allah, developing the love for Allah. The question comes to your mind, but we don't see Allah, we don't know Allah, how can we love Allah? How is it possible that we must love Allah more than anybody else? How can Allah make such a demand when we don't know who He is? We read in namaz, okay, but we don't know Allah. We haven't seen Allah. Ulama explain that the nature of man is he loves things that he doesn't see more than things that he sees. Example, we see our hands, our legs, our heart. We don't worry really about it, as long as it functions. But our intellect, which we do not see, if we give a choice to a person, would he like his intellect to go or one of his limbs? What he will opt for? One of his limbs. Yet his intellect he doesn't see. Why? Because he realizes that his intellect that gives him dignity. If his intellect goes, his mind goes, he becomes mad. There's no dignity left for him. No respect left for him. No honor left for him in society. In the same way, if we ponder upon the universe, we can realize that all the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for serving mankind. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever He has been created in the heavens and the earth is for mankind. It is for mankind. We see those things. But mankind will start thinking that who is behind those things? What is this invisible force we have behind those things? When man starts thinking about this invisible force, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his heart will overflow. His heart will overflow with gratitude. Just like a man, you are completely indebted. A brother comes and gives you something. How you feel a love for that person? How you feel respect for that person? In the same way, a person is dying on his bed. A doctor comes and goes out of his way to cure him. What you feel for this doctor? So gratitude is a stepping stone for love. So when a person starts thinking about the surroundings around him, which is zahir, which is visible to him, his mind automatically will go toward that invisible being who created it. And therefore it is not difficult to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not difficult to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this doubt must be out of our heart. In fact, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama explained, Allama Qushayri rahmatullah alayhi explained that the love for Allah, there is no limit. We can have a passionate love for woman, but Allah doesn't have a passionate love for His banda, because we cannot limit the love of Allah. Because the ayat I've quoted early on, Allah says such a qawm, such a nation, who will love Him, who will love Allah, and Allah will love them. So the love of Allah, there's no limit to the love of Allah. Rabia Basriya, great wali of Allah at the time, she was a contemporary of Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, one of the leading tabi'in. Once a person asked her, "Hey Rabia, do you have hatred for shaitan in your heart?" She says, "My heart is so full with the love of Allah, there is no place in my heart to hate shaitan." This is the passionate love. But the love for Allah does not stop here. We cannot confine the love of Allah. Once, a woman lost, I'm just repeating what I've said before, a woman who lost her child in a battle, and on the battlefield she lost her baby, and she's panicked on the battlefield looking for my child. Where is my child? Where is my child? The motherly love demands that she becomes bechain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at this, the great teacher called the Sahaba, and told them, "Do you think that this woman will throw her baby in fire?" "No, how come? Look at her mind, her state of mind, how bechain she is." Then Rasulullah says, the love of Allah is 70 times more than this love. The word 70, as I explained last week, is not to confine it to 70. It means a lot. It means a lot. There's a figure 1,000, the figure 100, all those figures come in hadith in Quran to mean a lot, ulama explained. There is no limit for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah expect this love to be a reciprocal, to be reciprocal. That not only we love Him, but He also will love us. But this is the first stage for a person who wants to become a salik, who wants to come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. This love is so important that ulama explain how to get it. There are masla on that. Is it wajib to love Allah? That's also there are masla masail on that. Not only Allah, but there are masla masail loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's part of iman. Under the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, nobody has brought iman. Nobody's iman is perfected until I'm more beloved to him than his father and his children and the entire universe. From this hadith, ulama explain that it is wajib, it is part of iman to develop love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is wajib, it's part and parcel of our iman. A person says, talking to an alim, but I know I love my children and my wife more than Allah. This is reality. I love my wife. I'm reading namaz, but deep in my heart, I know that. I'm more attached to my wife. I'm more attached to my children. We read namaz, but deep in our heart, we at times violate the law of Allah to please our wife or our children. In fact, the Quran itself mentioned it, that among your children, you have your enemies. It can happen. Then the man tells him, the old alim told him, if your child swears Rasulullah, will you take it? He said, no, I'll hit him. He said, but how can you say that? Love, you got to understand the love, the divine love. The divine love is not this physical love. For this reason, all of I explained, there are two types of love. One is known as the physical love. Muhabbate tabari. The physical love. This is an emotional state where we love something, it passes by. The state that passes in our heart and it goes. It's not enduring. It's non-volitional. It's not something that's going to stay always with you. For example, a man sees a boy, girl. He gets infatuated with that girl. He gets married with that girl. Then there's a divorce. Then after 10 years, he forgets this girl. This is passing by love. You want a car. Your mind is with this car. You collect your money. You buy your car. Then after a few years, you find a more beautiful car, you sell this car. Your heart is no more attached to this car. This is a natural love. Whereas, there is another love which is volitional, which endures, which continues, which is permanent. This is the intellectual love, the aqli muhabbat. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn our attention in Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to balance the love for Him and the love for the thing that we attach. Qul, Allah Pak in Surah Tawbah, in kana aba'ukum, if your fathers, wabna'ukum, your sons, these are very, very dear to everybody. Qul in kana aba'ukum, wabna'ukum, wakhwanukum, your brothers, wazwajukum, your wives, وعشيرتكم, your family, وأموالُ the wealth that you have acquired, or such business which you are afraid is going to be destroyed, or such beautiful mansion that you have built, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, and these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul, and fighting in the path of Allah, then wait for the decree of Allah to come on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand that if salik, a person who wants to practice Islam, he got to realize there are two types of love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes the love, the tab'i love, the natural love that man has for this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never negate that. But Allah wants us to use our intellect that this is a passing phase. That on the day of Qiyamah, this will not even help us. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ مَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُ يَوْمَ شَأْنُ يُونِي. On that day of Qiyamah, nothing, all those family that we are talking of, nobody would like to give us a single neki. All those big, big love that we are talking, not a single neki. You're going to run to your son, beta, I did this for you, give me one neki. Allah is asking me one neki for my scale. He wants to know you that day. You will go to your wife, beloved wife, on this world, what I didn't do for you to please you. But she will say, no, my turn is coming, I don't know whether I need this one neki myself. You will go to your old family, to your old neighbors. Everybody will refuse to give us one neki. This is what Allah is making us understand, that the love that He has for us and what we are supposed to develop for us, this is something extremely important for our ibadat. If a person hasn't understood that, then to walk on Sharia becomes very, very, very difficult. There will be hypocrisy in our aman. This is why Ibn Muhammad is another stepping stone. I remember Hakim Akhtasab, Nama Barakatuhum, he said that the love of Allah is so much in his heart that he feels like taking a jumbo jet and go throughout the world, fill it with people and go all over the world to make people understand what is the importance of love. Hubullah. This is how important it is. But when we check our heart, then ponder upon this ayat in the Quran, then we see whether the love for Allah is more or the love for the dunya. This is why it's important to understand the concept of love. It's not something that we're going to get it overnight. The love of Allah, we cannot get it overnight. It demands a lot of exercises. First of all, the very first thing we have to understand, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to love Him in the Quran. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing an order on us that to love Him, to love His Rasul, and to strive in His path is more important than all the things that our heart usually is attached to, our business, our family, our fathers, etc. Because love emanates from three things. Love emanates from three things. The first one is ihsan. When somebody does a good thing to you, when somebody does a good thing to you, this will develop love in you, because there will be gratitude which leads to love. The second thing is jamal. Jamal means beauty. A woman can attract you. The imam said beautifully. Because the imam is beautiful, your voice is attracted to this imam and you love the imam. The car is beautiful. You got a beautiful shape. Or the computer, the latest one on the market. You got a nice shape. It attracts you. Beauty attracts a person and love comes in the heart. The third one is kamal, perfection. So there are three things, if you think properly, that attracts a person. Ihsan, a person does you a favor. Jamal, beauty. The third one is kamal. For example, all the youth, I remember those days in the 70s, Ayyam Jahiliya, like all the youngsters, we were mad at football. Pele, number 7, we want number 7 or number 10, I don't know what number it is now. Pele, because why? Pele became the king of football. the angle he was scoring his goal, nobody could do that. So people start, yet Pele is not, na'udhu billah, everybody's, I mean, he's not like a very handsome person, like maybe David Beckham would be more, or whatever it is. I don't want to compare people, but for the youth to understand, I'm giving this explanation. We, our heart, get attracted to Pele. Why? Because he reached a certain perfection in football, and everybody became Pele. Right? So, but what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created this Pele? What about this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created all those Miss Universe? You must not look at Miss Universe, by the way. I'm not telling you to look at Miss Universe. But understand, this Allah, we want to watch Miss Universe. What about this Allah who created them? What we do with this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we not supposed to develop love for Him? Allah got all those enduring qualities of those three things in Him. Whereas mankind, nobody has those three things in them. All the three things you won't find in mankind besides Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why the demand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is logical, is rational. Why? The love of Allah is something we must develop in our heart. We have to develop the love of Allah in our heart. How to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ulama ikram has given lot of details in that. Lot of books have been written. Those who want to read, they can read, for example, Ihya al-Mudin by Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh. Hakim Akhtasab, Damagatum also has written his book, Dardi Muhabbat, has written beautiful books. But one book which has been well appreciated are the 10 steps developed by Ibn Qayyim Jawzi, rahmatullah. He was a great student of Allama Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh. He says in his book, Madarijul Salikin, there are 10 stages. Though it's a bit academic, you got to go and ponder on those things. He gives 10 steps, and it's based on human nature, it's based on logic, it makes sense, and all those 10 things have been derived from Quran and Sunnah. Number one, very, very important, he says, develop the ta'alluq with Quran. Understand what you're reading, what Allah wants from us. Read the Quran, ponder on the Quran. Very important. Because this is the visible, the Quran is one of the visible sifat of Allah, subhanallah. The Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got many sifat, but the Quran is the only visible sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the kalam of Allah. So at least you're getting a visible sifat of Allah, which is a representation rather of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in words which brings us near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you have understood the demand from the kalam of Allah, the next stage that he says is observe the fara'iz and the nawafil. In fiqh, nawafil means your sunnat muakkada, nafil, all the things are counted as nawafil. Make sure you're punctual with the fara'iz, because a person who fulfills the fara'iz, it comes to Sahih al-Bukhari, Allah says that He speaks with my mouth, he sees with my eyes, he touches with my hands. That is Allah manifesting him. Because why? Because his daraja increases. Practicing on the faraiz. One day, inshallah, if we get time, I'm going to talk on the falsafa, the philosophy, why Islam is based on those five pillars. And that's a very deep subject. I'm going to talk on this, inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq. The very, very intricate subject, why Islam is based on iman, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. And why not Islam is not based on a political philosophy or an economic philosophy or whatever theory we can think of. Why Islam is based on ibadat? Why is this a bunyad of Islam, the pillars of Islam? There are reasons for that. Number three, he says, once you have understood the faraiz and the nawafil, increase our azkar, our zikr. The zikr of Allah will counteract the flow of shaitan in our vein. As it comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to this effect, that beware of shaitan. Shaitan circulates in our vein just like blood circulates there. Anytime shaitan can take our iman away. So this azkar, it protects our heart. That also, if you read the tafsir, Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri nas, how shaitan makes waswasa in our heart, that's a subject on its own, a tafsir on its own. But shaitan has this power to go into our heart and change our niyat as well. So this azkar pushes them away. When we give azan, Rasulullah says this azan is so powerful that when shaitan hears azan, The words of the hadith is, it runs away and it fart. That also comes in the hadith of Rasulullah. This is the power in Allahu Akbar. In the power in the word of Allah, the moment the muazzin starts mentioning the word Allah, shaitan ran away. So azkar must fill our heart. Fill our heart with the zikrullah. Fill our mind with zikrullah. Fill our tongue with zikrullah. In fact, this is iman. Iman is we certify, we prove through our tongue, our heart and our actions, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is what iman is all about. So zikr is number three. Number four, very, very, very important, is he says, concentrate on the names of Allah. The 99 names of Allah is so important. When a person by heart those names, this is another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person by heart those names, Jannah becomes easy for that person. There's a barakat in that. But now pondering about those names, each name has such a high tempo in that, that it is mentioned in a hadith that is one of the name of Allah, of the sifat of Allah. If a person takes it, because we call Ismi Azam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua immediately. This is a power in the name of Allah. That's a subject on its own. Each name of Allah, Ibn Qayyim Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi says, if you got to ponder on that, because the secret is, why we must ponder on the name of Allah, once we have developed, because once we function with our faraid, we have read the Quran, we have make azkar, now our heart starts opening, and now we've got to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The marifat of Allah. Ulama explained that there are four stages. There are four stages to come near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first one is your sharia. We practice upon sharia. We learn maslah, masail. Until the nur of hidayat expands in our heart. When this comes, the next stage, they tell you, take tariqah. Tariqah means go in the spirituality a bit. Once we go in the spiritual world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start opening the unseen for us. Many, many things are open to us. For example, it comes in a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, dream is 140th of nubuwwat. This is what the Ahlullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a lot in their dream. That doesn't mean we must live in dream, we must live in reality. What I'm saying, the Ahlullah I'm saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a lot in their dream. A lot in the dream. This is why, but I don't like to quote it, but many times we'll find that the great wali of Allah, somebody's dream of them when they pass away. Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi has quoted it also. But for my personal reason, I don't like to quote dreams. But you'll find that those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a lot in their dreams. Because they reach marifat. They start understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we don't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't get the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen? Instead of being grateful to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will become arrogant. How? Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi mentions, just one example, time is over. He mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives favors to people, those favors are like land, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers it with rain. If the land is rocky, you can send a tornado on that land. You can set a tsunami on that land also. It won't have any effect. Nothing will grow there. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give the kuffar the amount they want, it won't bring iman because their heart is closed. Some land, they need fertilizers. Some people, iman is a big week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them some dawlat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them some bounties because they need that. Iman is a bit weak. And some land, they are so fertile, there's no need for fertilizers. These are Ahlullah. They don't even need money. They don't need nothing. Whatever they got, they give it immediately. And I have seen it with my own eyes. Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, whenever he was getting something, he used to give it to one alim who I know personally. And then this alim will give him back the kurta. So the kurta that he was wearing also was not his. So when they die on the mijhad, on the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hardly anything in this world. They don't need anything. Their heart is not attached with this world. I've seen in my own eyes those people, the moment you give them a gift, they get rid of it. They don't want anything in this world. This is a group, third group. Why? Because they have reached that level to understand the quality of Allah, Al-Mu'ti. Al-Mu'ti is one of the quality of Allah, the one who gives. And Al-Mani' is the one who doesn't give. They have reached that level to understand when Allah wants to shower them with a bounty and when Allah doesn't want to give them with bounty. Today we have been conditioned to eat a lot, 3 meals, your breakfast is the main one, and then you must have your lunch and your supper, and in between you must have a snack. Brothers, if you go in the life of Sahaba, with one date, Sahih Riwayat, they went in jihad with one date for 40 days. For 40 days Sahaba live on one date. How they live? All this we have been conditioned to think in this way, which is not Islamic, whereas Sahaba Ikram, they have understood who is Al-Razaq, the one who gives food, they have understood it. Al-Muhyi, the one who gives life, they have understood. Al-Mumit, the one who gives death, they have understood it. Until a person does not understand the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hubullah won't come, and there will be arrogance in our ibadat, there will be nifaq in our ibadat. For this reason, the hub of Allah must come into our earth, and to do that, there are steps to be followed. After that, he says, after understanding the attributes of Allah and pondering over that, the next one is to have consistently to think on the favors of Allah. To think on the favors of Allah. If a person cannot be grateful to Allah, how is he going to be grateful to his parents? How is he going to be grateful to his neighbors? And gratitude can be expressed in different ways. With a smile, you can express a gratitude to your neighbor. There's so many ways we can express our gratitude. We cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, he used to special places in his palace to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he was worshiping, making sijda for Allah. Allah said, you haven't thanked me enough. He makes sijda. Allah said, you haven't done enough. Then he lifts his head. He said, Ya Allah, I can't thank you what you have done for me. Allah said, Dawood, now you have thanked me. When this realization comes in our heart, who is Allah, the one who gives, this is where we develop Allah's muhabbat in our heart. This is what we have to understand. Who is Allah? The marifat of Allah. We must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those favors, and this will increase our love for Him. Number 7, he says, we got to surrender ourselves completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This stage is very, very high. This is a stage, what the ulama kiram says, the stage of fana. You finish in Allah, you become divana on Allah now. That's another darja on its own. I don't want to talk too much on that. There will be too many Layla and Majnu here. Right. Number 8, very important. When a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many, many times, he gets stuck on one level. And he doesn't want to come to this world. You know what I mean by that? He's contented. He's going to live in the mountain. This is not the haqiqat of deen. Haqiqat of deen, you got to get married. You got to have children. You got to live sharia. Once a sahabi was passing by a small stream, water, beautiful, so nice, so peace, tranquil, to make ibadat of Allah. He went to ask permission for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, let me sit there. Let me make my Allah. Rasulullah said, no. You haven't been sent in this world for that. Ibadat takes many, many forms. Ibadat, working is an ibadat. To have intercourse with one wife is an ibadat. To make any smile is an ibadat. To go and work is an ibadat. To bury a person is an ibadat. To sit in this majlis is an ibadat. To make namaz is an ibadat. To make jihad is an ibadat. All those things are ibadat as long as we become an abd of Allah, a slave of Allah, in the sense that whatever we do is in compliance with the command of Allah. That is ibadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a chief on the was a general in the army. He was a father-in-law. He was a nana. He was a husband. He was a Rasul of Allah. Just look at him, what he didn't do. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, it's coming Sahih al-Bukhari, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading namaz, some jinnat was troubling Rasulullah sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got hold of the jinn and put him to the pillar of Masjid al-Nabawi and told him, if my brother, that is Sulaiman, did not ask, O Allah, give me such a kingdom which nobody had before, I would have attached you, I would have tightened you with this pillar so that the children can stone you. But say, because my brother Sulaiman, which means Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, such a big empire he had, that even the Quran, it was Nahl, mentioned that when he was coming with his army, the ants could hear him, and they would say, Sulaiman is coming with his army, let's go back to our nest. Then Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, it mentioned the Quran, he started smiling and laughing, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given him authority to understand the language of the ants. Despite of all this, on the day of Qiyamah, if a person will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I was very busy. Allah will bring Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he was in charge of the ants, the jinnat, the birds, everything. Yet he had time to spend his head on the, most of the time in the sajda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to say we didn't have time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah will bring us a Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest king. What defense we have? This is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he involved himself in shughal, in those spiritual exercises. And number 9, very, very important, this also is from the Quran, is to sit in the sohbat of the pious people who love Allah. The Quran has given the nuskha in the Quran, that, oh, you believers, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha, fear Allah, wa kunu ma sadiqeen, and be in the company of those who are truthful. Sit in the sohbat of those people, of the Ahlullah. Today's time you will tell me, brother, but who is this Ahlullah today? Everybody is the same thing now. Who you trust? We can't even trust anybody. But the question is, the word of Allah only for the time of the Prophet, or is it up to the day of Qiyamah? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this ayat, it's going to be as the day of Qiyamah. We must not be arrogant. We must turn to Allah. Oh Allah, we know, you know what is the circumstance, but you have said in your kalam that we must have this type of people. Show me these people. Allah will open your way. You will have the Siddiqeen up to the day of Qiyamah. Because it's a kalam of Allah. I know we got our own spiritual disease. We think we are superior than the others. Therefore, we find the fault of others. We don't see our own fault. Where is the Siddiqeen today? Where is this one? Where is this one? But turn to Allah. And Allah will give us all those people who will bring us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, he says something very, very important. Number 10. He says that that's, I think, the most difficult part for me when I think about it. Avoid all the things that will be a barrier between your heart and your Lord. Avoid all the things that's going to be a barrier between your heart and your Lord. Very difficult. These are the 10 nuskha that Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi has given to develop the love of Allah. It seems a bit academic, nevertheless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a shorter way in the Quran. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Tell, O Muhammad, tell the people, if you really love Allah, follow my sunnah. Follow my sunnah. In the sunnah of Rasulullah, everything is there. This was in a gradual academic way of presenting things, but if you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah, all the things that we have mentioned here, all the things that Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah has mentioned, all the things that Imam Al-Ghazali has mentioned in Ihya Ulumuddin, all will fall in place. So, brothers, Hubbullah is very important. Without the Hubbullah, there will be a lot of doubt in our heart regarding our own iman, regarding our own ibadat. Shaitan will play with us. It's a demand of the Quran that we must develop the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've given you 10 steps. And I mentioned to you also how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has differentiated between muhabbati aqli and muhabbati tabari, the physical love and the intellectual love. I'm going to tell you one small thing. I'm going to quote you from a great wali of Allah. His name is Abu Ali al-Daqaq. He mentioned, love is sweetness, but its inner is bewilderment. Love is sweetness, but its inner is bewilderment. I leave it to you to experience how much you love Allah, how much you want to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous saying comes in French that l'amour n'existe pas, il n'y a que des preuves. Love doesn't exist, there's only proof of it. Let's think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. Allahu Akbar.